sisters, brothers, comrades, I know it's late, but I hope this will be worth our time together so that I can share our experience with you from Seattle. I bring you the greetings of all the activists in Seattle, and I want to start by thanking Rob Robinson and for all the luminaries that are present here, definitely including Harry Belafonte, Angela Davis, and David Harvey. It is indeed my honor to be in the presence of the individuals whose works I have grown up reading and being inspired by. The theme of the Left Forum this year is reform and revolution. We know that revolution or building a revolutionary movement requires mass movements. Mass is the operative word here, the key operative word. And so that means that we on the left, have the responsibility of initiating and organizing movements that can electrify a mass number of people. And that inevitably needs revolutionaries to engage in movements that will fight for radical reforms. And what we have shown in Seattle last year and this year so far, that it can be done. And I'm so happy to be here in front of you to announce that we are on the verge of winning $15 an hour in Seattle. New York Magazine ran an article about our work in Seattle and said, how did this thing of $15 an hour come about? Where did it just spring from out of nowhere and completely take over the politics of Seattle? And really, we should be standing here, first of all, saluting the fast food workers of Manhattan that walked out in November of 2012. But the success in Seattle has a story of its own that needs to be told over and over again because it contains so many precious lessons for building the left today. While the fast food workers had the courage to call for $15 an hour, I don't think that when they went out on the streets on that cold November day, they knew what was going to happen. They did that because they thought it was an expression of their outrage against economic injustice and against having to live a dead-end life with a low-wage job that goes nowhere, with a boss that is constantly harassing you, and a life where you can't even pay your rent. But what we have done in Seattle is shown that if the left would care to seriously analyze events and have a finger on the pulse of the American consciousness, you know that there are demands, political demands out there that are emerging from this wasteland of capitalism that we can center movements around and build and rally hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people around them. And some of you may have heard me say this tonight, but I think it bears repetition. And this has a special significance for me as an immigrant in the United States. You know, particularly an immigrant from a poor country. I'm from India. And often I hear, especially the liberal intelligentsia in the United States, the white liberal intelligentsia often, tell me, well, you know, Americans aren't ready for mass social movements yet because things haven't gotten bad enough. Things need to get worse before people will move into political action. I think we have to be clear that while there is definitely a relationship between the social conditions that create the frustration and dissatisfaction and the willingness of people to move into political action, it is not a linear or a complete relationship. What has been missing, as a matter of fact, the most important thing that has been missing has been, on the left, for decades, a taste of victory. A feeling that we can organize movements around concrete political demands, win those demands, while raising people's sights to something larger and a conversation about fundamental systemic change away from capitalism. And as Professor Davis said, that transformation should not be posed in the abstract. It's a transformation from capitalism to socialism. The $15 an hour campaign in Seattle has been fueled by the labor movement that won $15 an hour in a small neighboring city last year and brought the movement to Seattle. It's obviously been fueled by low-wage workers and their courage. It's been fueled by community activists. But the backbone of the success that we are going to have in Seattle has been our victory in installing a socialist and a working class voice in Seattle City Hall. And I wanted to give you all a glimpse of what it means to have a genuine voice for the working class in a government. Rob already mentioned that as a working class representative, I take home only the average worker's wage. But it goes more than that. It is not merely symbolic. It was like Professor Harvey was talking about the alienation, the deep alienation that especially youth feel from politics. How do we draw them in? The conventional wisdom is that the only way you can pose the left, you know, in contrast to the Democratic Party, is by having milquetoast demands and a very mild approach to electoral politics, being willing to take corporate money because you need money to fund your campaign. Well, let me tell you, the secret is to throw that conventional rule book out the window. We ran an audacious campaign where we took every opportunity to say that we were socialists. Even though the Seattle City Council races are nominally nonpartisan, we called out the rest of the City Council as a Democratic Party-dominated City Council, because we have to convey the clarity that if you are living in a city where the cost of housing is skyrocketing, public education is crumbling, you don't have facilities for healthcare, to deal with homelessness and other social services, then who are you going to blame? There aren't any Republicans to speak of in Seattle. It is a Democratic Party-dominated city. So we have to have the courage to call them out for their failures and their betrayals. But again, you can't do that and stop there. You have to provide an alternative to that kind of politics. And we are doing that. We did that in the campaign by not taking a penny of corporate cash, by not seeking Democratic Party endorsements, by never compromising on our principles. And we are taking that same philosophy to our work on the City Council. It was only a week after the inauguration of the new city council on January 6th that we launched the 15 Now grassroots campaign. And this campaign has been at the center of the movement that has really transformed the political landscape of Seattle. We've had neighborhood action groups everywhere in the city where people, and very few of them are members of Socialist Alternative, people who are looking to make a difference, who are looking to get involved in some political fight back against a system, are so excited to get involved. And this 15 Now didn't come out of nowhere. It did come out of the left, but it came out very specifically as a direct consequence of our campaign for city council, and it was socialists that did that. I want to talk about the 15 Now campaign primarily, but I want to also give you a glimpse of what else we are doing in the city council. Our first sole no vote happened a month ago. There's 9 council members, and there was an ordinance that in which the city authorized the police department to use NSA-sponsored funds to install technological equipment to spy on people for, you know, supposedly for criminal acts. Not a single Democrat had the courage to stand against it. And when we voted no and made a speech at the podium on why this was so dangerous, I have to be honest with you, I did not know how much of an impact it would have, not just in Seattle, but all over the country. There is a whole layer of young people who are completely disgusted with the NSA scandal, with the mass deportations, with the betrayals to the environmental movement, and are looking for alternatives. And it is concrete actions through our electoral office that we are able to provide that pole of attraction. I don't know how many of you had a chance to see, but we gave a socialist response to Obama's State of the Union address. If you haven't checked it out, I would really encourage you to do so. And the story about how that came about is also interesting. I have to say, we didn't think we were of that much consequence at that moment, that people would want our response to Obama's State of the Union. But it came about through a tweet that went out that said, "Twitter gods, will Socialist Alternative and Shama please provide a response to Obama's address?" Which told us, and this was from somebody who is not in Seattle, this told us that there is an awakening happening all around the country with what has happened in Seattle, what happened in Seattle last year. And we used that opportunity to point out that Obama did not mention poverty. He did not mention climate change. He did not mention fracking. He did not mention Keystone XL. And people are so fed up with this. The $15 an hour ordinance that is about to pass is going to be a huge boost to the standards of living of the working class in Seattle. 100,000 workers are going to be lifted out of poverty over a 10-year period, and I'll talk about the period as well in a few minutes. Roughly $3 billion will be transferred from the hands of businesses to the bottommost workers of the city. And who are these people? They're not just fast food workers. They're custodial staff. They're childcare workers. They're people who work in nail salons, cafeteria workers at the Seattle Public School, the bus drivers of the public school district. There's a whole host of workers who make the city run, and if they didn't go to work for one day, the city would shut down, and they are paid poverty wages. I appeal to you all to think about the enormity of this victory, how historic this is. Last year, when we were calling for $15 an hour, there was a corporate media blackout. There was not a single mention of our campaign or anything. And now, there is hardly a day goes by without a mention of the $15 struggle in the local newspapers. And we have national and international attention. What we have done is forced business to swallow the idea of increasing the wage substantially. And I say swallow because they hate it. They hate that idea. But what's happened in Seattle is a massive shift in consciousness around wages, and that did not happen automatically. Obviously, it is latent among the working class because the conditions compel them to realize the failures of the system. But to draw it out, you need an organized movement. And that's what 15 Now has done. And we have forced business into a corner where even though they hate it, they have to accept it because they don't have a choice. Just to give you a sense of how magnificent this public mandate shift has been, a recent poll found that 70% of Seattle supports a straight-up hike of wages to $15 an hour. A newspaper, a local newspaper, The Stranger, wrote this about that poll. If minimum wage opponents weren't already shedding bricks, they're in for an awfully uncomfortable bowel movement. That is the power of mass opinion, because it's hard for businesses to go out and say, you know what, I'm against 15 because I just hate the idea of paying my workers a decent wage. And if I could tell you the stories that I have heard due to my dubious privilege of being able to talk to them as a council member, if I could tell you the things that businesses said, it would be stomach turning. But I'll just include one quote where a restaurant owner, when he was brought to the table by the mayor to discuss $15 an hour, the first sentence he uttered at the first meeting was, and I apologize for my language in advance, "I'm fucking furious that I have to sit here and discuss $15 an hour. You want me to pay 15 to these young kids?" And you know, a lot of the condescension is focused on young workers. These kids, they come out of nowhere. They come in, they want a job. I have to teach them how to hold a toilet brush. I have to teach them how to cut a tomato. And you want me to pay them 15? And we were, the labor movement and myself were saying, yes, it's their right. And yet, the victory in Seattle, it's not complete in the sense that we haven't been able to win 15 on January 1st, 2015 for all workers who are below 15. What has happened is that the final bill that will get voted on has many corporate loopholes. Just to mention a few, big business has managed to win a 3 to 4 year phase-in period for $15 an hour. And we said, why does McDonald's or Starbucks need 3 to 4 years to bring their workers out of poverty? They don't even need a single day. There's another loophole called tip credit. I don't know how many of you know what that means. It means that tipped workers get a sub-minimum wage. There is a temporary tip credit. Restaurant owners have been successful in carving out that loophole. There is an inordinately long phase-in. That's where the 10-year period comes from. So if you're 30, you're going to be 40 years old before you actually see an end to your own poverty. We have rejected all of these loopholes, but the fact that they have gone through demonstrate to us not that it is not possible to win a complete victory, but that the quality of the victory is an outcome of the balance of forces. It is class struggle, and the only way we are going to win bigger gains for the working class is if we fight for it and we build stronger, more powerful movements than we have been able to so far. Only this morning, the Seattle Times, a bastion of progressive thinking, I'm joking, wrote that, you know, urging the city council, you know, Monday is going to be the final council vote, urging the city council to define franchisees as small businesses. It could go through if we didn't fight back. That is why we need your help, we need your continued support, because we will not be able to pressure the city council into not passing that further loophole if they don't see that there is an entire nationwide movement that is rallying against them. Our task, our immediate task, are very clear. At this moment, we need to push as strongly as possible to ensure the best possible deal for the working class in Seattle on Monday. But it is not just about Seattle. And this is where I am appealing to you all to recognize your responsibility jointly with us in Socialist Alternative in Seattle. We have a responsibility right now to spread the 15 Now movement everywhere in the country, because young activists everywhere are looking to Seattle and asking the question, how did this thing happen in Seattle? What can I do to make it happen here? What is that secret? What is the secret to build a movement in my own city? And that is a shared responsibility we all have resting on our shoulders on the left. This is not an exclusive responsibility or prerogative of myself or of Socialist Alternative or of 15 Now in Seattle. This is a responsibility that we all share. And the biggest mistake the left could possibly make right now is failing to recognize that things are changing. We need to shake off the cobwebs of pessimism right now, because young people need us to. We will continue fighting hard in Seattle. In fact, we have been. Along with my campaign last year, Socialist Alternative also ran a campaign in Minneapolis with Ty Moore, who's also been an Occupy Homes activist, the campaign against foreclosures, who came very close to winning. And this year, we're running another candidate, Jess Speer, from Washington State, from Seattle, to challenge the Speaker of the House, the same person we ran against in 2012 and got 30% of the vote against. I've heard that he's furious that we're running against him again. We will continue to push hard for 15 in Seattle. We will continue to push hard for taxing the rich, for investments in mass transit, for rent control. But we cannot do it alone, because only doing it in Seattle is not the narrative we want for the way forward. The narrative has to be that there is nothing unique about Seattle. Absolutely nothing. This can be done everywhere, because everywhere there are people who who are disenchanted with the system and are looking to get involved. The left as a whole has to do it. When we won the election last year, we heard again from the Stranger newspaper that the city council members, the sitting city council members, all Democrats, had an apoplectic reaction to the prospect of a revolutionary socialist arriving in their midst. And what we heard was that they said that it would be like a mountain lion set loose in a grocery store. I don't know where that came from. Seattle is not especially known for mountain lions in grocery stores. However, I take that as a compliment. And this is what we have to say. This is not a flash in the pan. Yes, indeed, the mountain lion has been set loose all across the nation. And you're not going to be able to put it back because the left is determined to build its forces against this enormous crisis of capitalism. So I appeal to you, I sincerely appeal to you, tonight, before you leave, please, please donate to 15 Now. Please talk to the red-shirted activists there who are at the 15 Now table. Please buy t-shirts, buy our pamphlets. And I say buy because we need your financial resources. Grassroots efforts need grassroots support. This cannot be done without you. And if you are, my sisters and brothers, if you are inspired by what we are doing, then the only correct response to that is to do whatever you can to help the movement forward. And at this moment, it is doing whatever you can to help us with the 15 Now campaign in Seattle and nationwide. So I hope you will find it in yourself to donate more than you are capable of. Make a sacrifice, because if we all don't make the commitment to make a lifelong sacrifice to this struggle, we will never, never get to the point where we can actually see on the horizon an end to this oppressive and exploitative system that has generated so much misery around the planet. It is not just the workers in Seattle that rely on you. It is workers all across the nation that rely on you. And indeed, it is workers all across the world that rely on you. Because at this moment, everybody around the world is looking at Seattle and wondering what the hell is happening in the belly of the capitalist beast. And if the working class of the working class in the global seat of capitalism can have the courage for a bold fight back, imagine the inspiration it sends to workers everywhere, workers in countries that have been the laboratory of imperialism. It is our duty, our job to do this, not just for our workers, but workers all across the world. Please show your solidarity to everybody by doing this today. And I have my solidarity to you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Sharma Sawant. Folks, before we end the evening, I'm going to ask that we leave in an orderly fashion. We have to get Mr. Belafonte out of here.